Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Welcome to the weekly sermon podcast of the Cape Elizabeth Church of the Nazarene. We welcome you to join us in a study of God's Word today. May God open your heart and mind as you listen to the eternal truths found in His Word.
Our gospel lesson today comes from Matthew chapter 5, verses 21 through 37. You have heard it said to the people long ago, "Do not murder, and anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. But I tell you that anyone who is angry with his brother will be subject to judgment. Anyone who says to his brother, 'Raca,' is answerable to the Sanhedrin. But anyone who says, 'You fool,' will be in the danger of the fires of hell. Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled, then come and offer your gift. Settle matters quickly with your adversary who is taking you to court. Do it while you are still with him on the way, or he may hand you over to the judge, and the judge may hand you over to the officer, and you may be thrown into the prison. I tell you the truth, you will not get out until you have paid the last penny. You have heard that it was said, 'Do not commit adultery.' But I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, gouge it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to go into hell. It has been said, 'Anyone who divorces his wife must give her a certificate of divorce.' But I tell you that anyone who divorces his wife, except for marital unfaithfulness, causes her to become an adulteress. And anyone who marries the divorced woman commits adultery. Again, you have heard that it was said to the people long ago, 'Do not break your oath, but keep the oath you have made to the Lord.' But I tell you, do not swear at all, either by heaven, for it is God's throne, or by earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make even one hair white or black. Simply let your yes be yes, and your no, no. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one." The Gospel of our Lord. So last week, at the very end of the passage we read last week, it talked about the fact that Christ did not come to abolish the law, but rather that he had come to fulfill it. That not even one crossing of the T would be removed. This week in class, one of my professors made mention of something that he said this a number of times, and I was thankful that he said it again because it had reminded me for this upcoming passage that fulfill might not be the best translation to say that Jesus fulfilled the law. That there's a better way that we could say that, and that it would be better to say that Jesus filled full the law. That is, Jesus brought the law to its fullest meaning, that he filled it so that it could not be filled any fuller. And so Jesus says that, and then we get to Jesus recalling some of these laws that we have heard said. And then he tells us, "But this is what I say to you." We hear him bring up anger and lust, divorce and lies. And these are all things that were spoken heavily of in the Torah, or the first five books of the Bible, what many of us call the law. Now, with the Torah, it was, if you talk to people about the Torah, and if you talk to even Jewish people today about the Torah, most will say that the meaning of Torah is law. You know, and that's one of the things that we've come to understand the Torah as, is law. But that doesn't give full justice to the meaning of the word Torah. One might better understand it as instruction. when we hear of God's Torah, we hear of his instruction that he's giving to us. They're simply words. In fact, even the Ten Commandments, they're just called the Ten Words. The Word of God was his instruction. And they're words that have been given to us by God that help us know how to live our lives. They help us know how we're to interact with each other, how we are to be in community with each other. But somehow they went from instruction to law. And both have their benefits, but there's occasionally some negative side with the term law. For many of us, we think of laws as mainly things that have been set in stone to be followed solely for the sake of being followed, while instructions are given to guide us and lead us. Instructions were meant to help us see dignity and to see value and to give us an understanding of how to live. And so they almost became from a set of instructions of this is how we're to live our lives to a set of checklists that we just check off to say, yes, I didn't kill anybody today, didn't divorce my wife today, didn't swear falsely in court today. Check, I'm good. That they went from an instruction of this is how we're meant to live to simply something to check off. One way that you could think of this was that the law became mere moralism or religiosity rather than a way of life. These things were done solely because they were meant to be done, but there was no meaning behind it. There was no... It had become just religiosity, just this is who we are, and it's not helping us to see value in love and dignity in the other. They were simply, again, they were simply a checklist rather than a way of life. This passage, when I was younger, it would kind of make me laugh because it was kind of hard. It says, you have heard it said, you shall not murder. And when I was younger, I was like, well, that's easy. That's easy to not do that sin. To this day, I've still not murdered anybody. Checklist on that. But then Jesus gets a little tougher. And he says, you've heard it said, do not murder. But I say to you, do not even call your brother or sister Raca, which means fool. Do not insult the other. I don't know how many of you have Facebook, but that's a hard commandment to live into. There are people that post stuff on Facebook that I see and I want to call them a fool. They'd be like, are you stupid? Like, are you kidding me? But Jesus tells us we're not to insult and we're not to call our brother or sister a fool. And I was listening to a podcast this week, A Plain Account, and they ended up talking about this passage with one of our former general superintendents, Dr. Jesse Middendorf. And one of the things that he kept hitting on with this passage was that Jesus tells us this because we're to give dignity and value to the people we come in contact with. And that if I'm insulting you, or if I'm calling you a fool, I'm degrading you and devaluing you and not giving you the dignity that you deserve as a person. So while it said, do not murder, Jesus takes it to do not destroy who they are. Do not destroy their character. Do not attempt to wreck their characters, but instead build them up. Again, in a day of Facebook and Twitter, that's not always easy because I don't have to see the other person. But that's what God calls us to, is even those we disagree with, we're not to tear them down, but we're to build them up. In the NIV version that I read, it talks about the fires of hell. The literal Greek word for hell at that point, the throughout the Bible, it uses multiple words to describe hell. But at that point, the word that's used is Gehenna, that we who destroy others are liable to the fires of Gehenna. Now, I don't know if many of you know about ancient Jerusalem and the setup of their city, but Gehenna was an actual location. Let's say you have the city of Jerusalem here. Right here, you have Gehenna, which was the town dump. It was literally the garbage pit right outside of town. And it was always burning because they were always taking trash to it. And so Jesus is saying when we destroy others, we're made ugly like the trash dump that's on fire or the town dump that's on fire. That's what we're liable to. That's what it's like. That's what we're becoming. That's where we're taking ourselves. By insulting others, we're just becoming a pile of garbage ourselves. And not only that, it's a pile of garbage that's on fire, which doesn't sound pleasant. Not only do we ruin the other person's character, but we ourselves are made ugly by our insults. Jesus then goes on to another piece, do not commit adultery. And like I said, this is one of those things where that's an easy checklist. Nope, never committed adultery. But then Jesus gets into the heart of the issue and takes it even deeper, where it's not just don't commit adultery, it's don't lust. Because when we lust after that person, we're no longer allowing them their personhood, but we're objectifying them, making them a mere object for our pleasure. It devalues them, and it is undignifying. I've heard it once said, you know, what did it really mean when Jesus said, cut off your hand or gouge out your eye? To which the pastor replied, cut off your hand or gouge out your eyes. that it would be better for us to be wounded while maintaining dignity and value of the other than it would be for us to rob that person of their dignity and value while the whole of us is thrown into the town dump that's set ablaze. That it is better for us to stumble into the kingdom of God than to go holy with a W, not just an H, into the pit of the dump. Jesus continues on to a few other pieces. He tells us that we're not to divorce without a marriage or without a certificate of divorce for set reasons, nor are we to lie. And like the first two, these ideas simply come back to the fact that we end up robbing the other of their dignity when we sin in these ways. Back in this society, for a man to divorce a woman, which a man could divorce a woman on almost any grounds, if she did not make the meal he wanted the proper way, he could file for divorce and leave her, which would essentially leave her helpless and leave her destitute, because no one would want to remarry her. And a woman cannot own property. A woman cannot be a head of house. She cannot essentially have worth. And so by leaving, he robs her of her dignity. He robs her of any value. Then Jesus gets to a tough one. Do not lie. You know, you've heard it said, do not swear an oath. But I say to you, do not tell any falsehoods. And I don't know how many of you have been lied about, but it's demoralizing. It devalues us. It takes away our dignity. It paints us in a false light that's not who we truly are. And that's what happens when we lie about others. And so throughout this whole passage, Christ is calling us to remember to give dignity and to remind us to give value to those that we come in contact with and to those who who we interact with. Maybe it's because I'm a millennial and I'm 25 and I spend too much time on Facebook. But I think about this in at least the world I live in, where I'd say probably half of what I see on Facebook is insulting to others, if not more than half. These people are all evil. This person is absolutely terrible. This person said this. This person did this. We need to keep away from him and her, and we need to send them there and for that reason. And almost none of it is things that give value to the other person. They're things that treat these other people as merely objects that we don't have to connect with. And something that I've been thinking a lot lately is, how much would our interactions change and would our voices change if we remembered that people were people, people? You know, if we were to see the humanity in others, what would change in us? What would change in myself? I've had to think about that a lot lately with some of the conversations I've been on or been a part of where I just cannot understand how the other person is thinking the way they're thinking. And God reminds me, you're not to call them a fool. You're to remember that they are a person too, and that you're to engage with them and learn from them, and that you're to walk beside them. And so Jesus goes over some of these laws that people had been given and had turned laws into letting them be the instructions that guide them. And we were given these laws, these instructions, not as a saving grace. The law will not and cannot save us. That alone comes through Christ Jesus. But rather, we were given these instructions as almost a rule of life, that as we live into the kingdom, we live into this habitus, this way of being that fulfills the instructions of God. And so as I was preparing for this, and I was intentionally keeping it a little bit shorter, knowing that it is supposed to start snowing again soon, and wanting us to be able to finish up a little early to make sure that we can get home safe. One of the things I wanted to make sure that we got to today was for us to take time as we go about our week to think about what are the things that we're doing today just because we had heard it was what we're supposed to do. What might it be that Christ is telling us? You have heard it said, but I say to you. What are the things that we're doing merely as a checklist that get to the bare basics but avoid the actual heart? What is it that we're being called to that gives dignity to the other and value in all people? Again, I think for most of us, there are things that Jesus is saying, you have heard it said, but I say to you. We are called to give value and dignity to our neighbors. That is the intention of our instructions, is to see the value and dignity of all. Pope Francis, not too long ago, said a quote that I think is really fitting. What he said was, human dignity is the same for all human beings. When I trample on the dignity of another, I'm trampling on my own. When we destroy or go after the dignity of somebody else, when we attempt to devalue them, we're allowing ourselves to become like the town dump that is set ablaze. And I know the dump stinks as is, but a town dump that's on fire, I'm assuming, smells even worse. So God is calling us to give dignity, to give value. Would you take a minute to pray with me? Loving God, we seek to follow your desire and to walk in your ways. we seek to observe your commandments of loving God, loving self, and loving others. God bless this place and all the places of the earth. Fill the minds and the hearts of your people with wisdom. As your servants, God, may we labor for your purposes, building, gardening, watering, reconciling, growing, peace. May we work together, sister and brother, brother and sister, as God's field, God's gift to you, and God's gift to me. Loving God, we seek to follow your desires and to walk in your ways, to observe your commandments of loving God, loving self, and loving others. This we pray through your Son. Amen.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. Thank you for listening to this week's sermon. More sermons are available online at our website, capenazarene.org. Our website also includes instructions for subscribing to our podcast so you can have a message delivered to you weekly. May God bless you as you serve Him this week.